in me. Thank you, God. I've been battling in my brain all week. Oh, God, you're so great. And yes, there's freedom. There's so much freedom in you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
let you off the hook today. I'm going to say to you that it's okay to say, God, help. God, I surrender. God, I need you. It's not weakness. It's a crazy faith. And it's a strength to be able to say, God, I need you. God, I desire for you to be my strength. God, for you to be my rock. God, for you to be my shield and my portion. God, for you to be my everything, my all in all. That is not weakness. That is a true test of humility, a true test of character, a true test of actually the strength that we desire. God, I surrender. I surrender, God. Can you just put your hands up? Say, God, I surrender to you today. God, in my weakness, you are made strong. I place myself in the hands of my Creator. There's power in that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will do it. Thank you, Jesus.
Sound of heaven touching earth. this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out.
Break out.
Break our walls down.
Yes,
Spirit, break.
How many of us know that God didn't make the earth not to reside here and not for us to be apart from Him, but for us to be with Him in communion every second of every day? So we don't need to wait to get to heaven. We can experience heaven right here. Every moment that we're with our Father, Every moment that we spend in His presence, we are experiencing heaven. And there's a part of heaven that we can't experience when we're there. So we better jump out and step out and get there right now. Thank you.
Come on, right now, let's taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Come on, right now, let's step out in faith and let's just taste and see that God is good this morning. Come on, let's be obedient to what God gave Glenn and let's join the sound of heaven, the roars of heaven over the Lord. Come on, let's just join that sound right now. Come on.
Open, and yet you cannot break free. You cannot go anywhere. You can't do it. You can't do it on your own. But God's here today to restore your wings so that you can mount up and you can fly. God, restore, restore, God, restore, God, restore what the enemy has broken. Restore, God, what the locust has eaten up. Restore, God, what circumstances has claimed a hold of. But no more, God, no more. Because you're restoring right now, God, so that we can break out. God, send your heaven, send it to earth now, God, so that we can know, we can be still and know, God, that you are our God and that you are restoring us by faith today. Yes, Jesus. Oh, break out. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Tear our walls down, God. Tear it down. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, fly. Just fly. Fly. Fly.
I love the Lord. I just love Him so much. Even in days when I'm struggling. Yesterday, I was just restless. And I kept thinking, what is going on, Lord? What is going on? And then I thought, Lord, it's my spirit. I'm restless. I'm restless in my spirit. And the Lord said, be alert, be aware, watch. And so there was a situation that we knew was coming up, and Ken and I prayed about it, and I thought, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But that wasn't it, the Lord said. Later on in the afternoon, we were talking about going to Gina and Moses for Saturday night prayer. And the Lord said, you won't be going. I thought, Lord, we love Saturday night prayer. He said, be alert, be watchful, and pray. Two other situations came up that day. And I kept thinking, Now, Lord, now have you released us so we can go? And he said, watch and pray. I heard a car pull in our driveway, and it was with a great urgency. I thought, oh. I heard someone knock on the door, and I opened the door, and she said, do you have chickens? Now, I know that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but listen. Just listen. Because the Lord said, there's a word here for five of you that's going to go into your spirit. We all need to hear this, but the word is for five of us to be released in your spirit. So she said, do you have chickens? And I said, yes. And she said, there's a dog that has a chicken out in the road just mangling it. And I thought, God, no. Our chickens never even leave the property. So I got Ken. All of our chickens had been attacked one way or another. A dog had gotten into our chicken coop. And there were feathers everywhere, just everywhere. And I kept thinking, God, no. I believe, Lord, that you care. You care about even our chickens, Lord, that they're important to us. And the Lord said, I will restore. I will restore. So we were out in the dark, and there was feathers everywhere. And we were missing some of our chickens, and we were babysitting two chickens. And we thought, if those boys, baby chickens, are gone, that will be hard. Through the night, the Lord woke me up, and the wind was blowing so hard. And he said, wait till morning. Wait till morning. And when we got up this morning, every one of our chickens was there. Some of them in rough shape, but every one of our chickens were there and alive. And the Lord said to me, I care about every hair on your head. I care about every worry that you have. I am your Lord and Savior. I am your God that wants to release my love and my joy and my mercy into your spirits and into your life. I care about all things. And I thought, thank you, God, because we care about you, Lord. We care about you. So today, embrace the fact that our Lord loves us so much. Bald, lot of hair, no hair, feathers, it doesn't matter. The Lord created us, and we love our God. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. presence I come alive. Your light breaks through and darkness has to hide. I once was bound, but you made me free. Yeah. Your grace poured out upon me.
Come on, sing it out to the Lord. Oh,
Jesus.
Just receive it this morning.
Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, your love is mine. 'Cause you rejoice over me, you rejoice over me, you rejoice over me. I rejoice in you, my God. You rejoice over me.
Come on, sing it out.
You rejoice over me.
Yes, you do.
You rejoice over me. I rejoice in you, my God. You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me. I rejoice in you.
Just reach out and just grab that this morning.
Jesus, 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 your love is mine.
Thank you, Lord. We have a faithful King that we serve. We have a faithful Father. We have a Holy Spirit, a Spirit of truth that leads and guides us into all truth and leads and guides us in our lives, Lord. You can lead and guide this service today, and I believe you are, Lord. So I don't think it was any coincidence, any accident that our sister was sharing at that time about the chickens. And then this song came on about out of the morning. Put that first slide back on. After the morning, you bring joy. And she's talked about five individuals. And I don't believe that, you know, it's that you have to come up here to receive from the Lord, because he can touch you right where you're at. But there is something about taking those steps of faith. There's something about moving beyond your comfort zone and saying, God, I believe you're talking about me. You're encouraging me with this story. You're awakening my heart with this song. And I want to receive what you have for me here today. I don't want to leave this place and realize that you had prepared something for me and I didn't get to receive it because of my fear. Or maybe just because it didn't seem like the opportunity came to receive. So this is your opportunity. So as we sing this again, the Lord wants to rejoice over you. He wants to tell you that he is pleased with you, that he loves you, that he's not mad at you, that he rejoices over you. And you can rejoice back to him. Mutual song of gratitude and thankfulness for his grace in your life. And there's moments in each and every one of our lives that certain situations, certain circumstances, certain events are given to us and are placed before us so that we can receive something from the Lord that will be significant through all our days. It's not just something that we go, oh, that was nice. No, it's something that changes us and transforms us. And I believe that's what God wants to do here today. So as we sing this song again, I encourage you to come up. I encourage you to come up and just receive that freedom, that peace, that joy, that love that God has for you. Thank you, Lord.
After the morning, you bring joy. And out of the ashes, hope is born. Cause in the desert, your rain falls down. And in my weakness, your strength abounds. Jesus, Jesus, alive. light breaks through and darkness has to hide. Cause I once was bound, but you made me free. Your grace poured out upon me, yeah. And Jesus, 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 your hope is mine. Jesus, Jesus, your joy is mine. Jesus, 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 your peace is mine. Jesus, 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 your love.
This morning, as we got here, and it was funny, right as I grabbed the microphone to start pre-service prayer, the Lord just reminded me of where I was, I don't know, 2.5 years, 3 years ago, I don't remember anymore, but it was a place of darkness where I was bound in chains and just like doing things that I thought pleased my flesh, but they didn't. It was a chain that just kept me consumed in like an unhappiness. It was like a temporary happiness that I had. And the Lord reminded me of, even when I would, you know, get a chance to meet with Pastor Mike or Pastor Josh, that I was embarrassed and I didn't want to even pray out loud to them. Like when it was just the two of us, I wouldn't want to pray. I mean, and imagine being able to go from a place like that to getting to open up with pre-service prayer, like on a microphone in front of whoever is here. Some people pay attention, some people don't. And I don't care, I get to pray. And that didn't all come without a sacrifice in my flesh and an obedience in my flesh that I had to take. And there's still work to be done, believe me, but it's, I remember coming to church, sitting in the back, thinking, man, I want to leave, I got to go, I'm not sure I want to be here, but I know I need to, I know I need to. This is where I need to be. I need to feed my spirit. I need to feed my spirit more than I feed my flesh. Yes. And that, and having that in my mind, knowing that that's what I needed to do, really helped pursue a relationship with my Father, with God, with, you know, and really learning to listen to Holy Spirit and being guided and counseled by Him and not by my own selfish thoughts and my own ways. And so I just really want to speak encouragement to anybody that may feel, you know, a struggle or a hard time in a hard time in a relationship with the Lord, that just stay faithful. The Lord is so faithful, and we can give Him that back. He deserves that, and it's in our best interest. The Lord has such a good plan for us that at those times when, you know, I wanted to leave, I didn't, because I knew I needed it. I knew I needed it. And the Lord has been so good to bless me with, I mean, hope and joy and love and peace and happiness. And it's just continuing to let Him work in my heart and in my spirit, and just knowing that, like, where I was to where I am, I'm just so grateful to the Lord. And I just really wanted to speak encouragement to anybody that may feel like they're having, you know, any difficulty. You know, if you need a chance to, you know, maybe have somebody pray for you or meet up with somebody, don't hesitate to do it. And I just continue to be thankful. And sometimes I forget, but then I look at my wife and I remember, wow, the Lord's done a lot in me. I mean, there's just nothing but gratefulness and joy. So just, you know, be encouraged and know that your spirit has priority over your flesh, and just continue to try to feed your spirit and do what you know you need to do.
As we walk and move forward in our walk with Christ, we go through so many growth phases. And for those of you that are really struggling with this right now, is that me? Are you talking to me? Should I be up there? Am I okay here? What are we doing? Some of the messages today have been so personal for me. I remember when I came back to the Lord after years away, and I was just buried in sin, just buried. I didn't think I'd ever be able to get out of that because a part of me didn't want to. And I went to my pastor's wife, and I told her. She actually thought I was talking about someone else, and I said, oh, no, 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 this is me. I don't know what to do. And I had never asked anyone for help in anything. And she said, you need to ask Jesus for help. And I thought, what? Do what? And I went home. After all, I had gone to her for advice. I went home, and it was the first time I had ever done anything like that. And something broke. It just broke. For the first time, I knew there was a helper in my life, somebody I could count on and trust and move forward with. One of my future phases, I would have thoughts, I would do things, my mouth would fly off, whatever it was. I would really be afraid to continue my Bible study the next day, my read-through, because I really thought God was just going to slap me for my sin, for my thoughts. Just slap me. And I have to tell you, every day, every time, He brought something gentle to me as a reminder. As a reminder of His great love and His blessings. And does He get disappointed? Well, don't all parents, but does He stop loving us? No. So if you're in one of those difficult spots right now and you need help and you're not sure how to ask, or you're afraid that you've just done something so bad, He is not going to help you out. He will. And if you can come forward, come forward. If it's not something you want to do, take it in where you are. But if you come forward, someone will pray for you and they will help you. So don't be hesitant. Just take what He has.
Rejoice in you, my God. Rejoice in you, my God. Rejoice in me. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Do you know, it's not about us coming here and fulfilling some kind of schedule. It was never supposed to be about that. And if we make it about that, if we make it about that we reach certain pinnacles in a service that we're all accustomed to and used to, but we don't care about the lives that are here and wait on God to do what he needs to do in each and every life, then we're not walking in the truth. Not walking in love. And I know you are a people of love and a people of truth. But I just want to keep reminding us why we're here. It's not just about that we can receive something from God, although that is a benefit that we receive when we gather together. But it's really about our brothers and sisters. Those ones who maybe right now don't have the strength to stand or to hold their head up, or just to be reminded that God loves them. And when we give God opportunity to do that, it pleases him. And I just want you to know that every life that was touched here today will be eternally touched, I believe. Not just for this hour and a half, 2 hours, however long we're together. Eternally, things were done in people's lives. And that's valuable. That's why we're here. That's why we're a body of believers. So praise God. Praise the Lord. I think it was about 5 individuals that responded. And I'll look forward to the testimonies in the coming days. And, you know, if you want to really ponder theologically what took place with Barb and Ken yesterday, that the Lord's warning her that all this stuff's coming on, some would say, well, why didn't he just keep it from happening? Because he loves us. And he loves those 5. That what the enemy meant for evil, God turned to a miraculous good. What the enemy meant to destroy, kill, and steal, God brought home. And you don't have to preach a sermon when you get this kind of evidence of the living God in our midst, do you? What's that? One more person? So if you're that one person, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Just because it seems like we've transitioned here, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Okay. Amen.
Okay. I know that there's probably quite a bit of people here who feel like they have a deep desire to become more intimate and close to Christ, and there you might feel like there's things in your life that's preventing you or keeping you from stepping forward and moving into that calling. So I'd like to just share a little bit of my testimony and what's taking place in my life, and hopefully the Spirit will be able to encourage those of you who are in that position and feel that way. 6 years ago, my life was consumed by drug addiction and alcoholism, and I was lost. My life was turmoil. I was angry. I was extremely violent. I didn't really care about myself, let alone anybody else in this world. And part of me just wanted to make everybody else feel that same pain, and I was out there just doing the enemy's work. I got incarcerated 6 years ago, and I got into a fight with an individual. And all that violence and all that built-up anger and aggression came out. And that man lost his life. And I was facing 33 years of my life in prison. And God moved his hand in my life in a major way. And I ended up doing 6 years in prison. Through all that, though, I dealt with the fact that I left four of this man's children without a father. He's got a mother who loves him deeply, and she'll never be able to know his love again. And I wrestled with that inside. I didn't know how to deal with that. I didn't know how to let that go. I thought, how could such a loving, compassionate God care for such a wretched individual? But I'm here to tell you today that God restores, that God loves each and every one of you. And no matter what you go through, no matter how deep down in the abyss that you might feel, or how powerless and hopeless your life seems to be, there is nothing that our God cannot do. Thank you, guys. God bless all of you.
Praise the Lord. Lives changed. Hearts transformed. Thank you, Lord. Just making sure that the Lord doesn't have anything else for us. You do, brother?
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I love you all deeply. You know, it's so beautiful the way God works in our lives. You will never convince me that He hasn't given us a spirit that is so strong, and a sense of humor, and one of imagination. What I'm about to tell you is truth. Please listen carefully. One of my favorite authors is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Pastors. By the time he was 19 years old, he had given 2,500 sermons. Well, I used to smoke cigars, and I quit. And the other day, I thought, you know, I'm going to go out to the little brown smoke shack out there in Union Gap and see what's going on. So they'd revamped the place. They'd put in a little espresso bar with some tables and chairs. And I walked into their cigar humidor, which is a pretty good size, and oh, the aroma. Oh, God. Do my prayers smell anything like this place? Well, I bought a cigar, and I'll say, if Spurgeon can do it, I can do it. And I'm going to smoke this cigar to the glory of God. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody in here to go smoke cigars. But listen to what happened. I walked out and I went over to the espresso bar. There were five guys there, all smoking cigars. I said, do you mind if I join you? And they said, no, please do. So I sat down and lit up my cigar. Man, it tasted pretty good. Lord, this is your gift to me today, and I'm going to smoke it for your glory. So during the course of the conversation at this table, diabetes came up. And I have diabetes. I've had diabetes for about 12, 15 years, something like that. And I've been praying every day, the Lord heal me. Well, when diabetes came up, one of the guys at this table said, you know, I had diabetes once, and I've lost, oh, I used to weigh 500 pounds. And I said, what? I said, what do you weigh now? He said, I weigh 250 pounds. And as one, when I ask, how did you overcome this diabetes? As one, all five said, the Atkins diet. Now, I'm not condoning the Atkins diet either, but I want to tell you, let me tell you, it works. And what it is a reverse of what the government's teaching us, you know. we're supposed to cut down calories and all that stuff. Well, in Atkins, you don't count calories, you count carbs. And so when they said this and they told me about the diet, I ran home and I called the Christian bookstore and I ordered the book. Now I read it every day. Man, it's just incredible. Along with my Bible, of course. So I was on the diet for about a month and a half. There's three phases to his diet, and I'm on phase one still, will be for probably a few years. So I go to my endocrinologist. That's a blood doctor for my diabetes. First thing they did was they put me on the scale. And in, 6 weeks, I lost 14 pounds. Hey, wait. I went in to see the doctor, and they took my blood pressure. My blood pressure was 120 over 60. That's teenage. He looked at my sheets of my blood count. You know, you have to do that three times a day when you're diabetic. Used to be up at 200 to 250, then it went down to 210 to maybe 190. Now, because of this diet and because of the grace and glory of God, my blood sugars run 88 to 105. I am healed. All because of the grace of God. My cholesterol levels went from 250 to 125.
Praise God.
My doctor cut my insulin intake from 50 units a day to 25. He said, you just keep doing what you're doing because whatever it is, it's working for you. And I told him it was the grace of God that brought me this far. Now, I'm telling you, if you struggle with diabetes, give it a try. It's incredible. Let me tell you one of the things you can have on the diet just for breakfast. 3 eggs with cheese, mushrooms, and green onion omelet. 4 sausages. Yeah, or 4 pieces of bacon. For lunch, you have a tuna roll-up in lettuce with mayonnaise, lots of mayonnaise and fat stuff.
Praise God.
And so you guys try it. It really works. And thank you for listening to my story. Praise God.
God is amazing. And I'm just trying to think how to take this and where to take this, because through his story, it's led to kind of where I'm going to share. And I'm just going to share for a few minutes. I think the kids are just going to stay, and then we'll be done. But this week, the Lord showed me, I was reading through the book of Mark. Now, if those of you who read through the book of Mark, it's 16 chapters. And I mean, it has amazing things that Jesus did. I mean, you know, you've got him, you know, feeding the 5,000, and you've got him, you know, having the moment when the man's let down through the roof, and Jesus tells him that his sins are forgiven. And I mean, there's all kinds of good stuff to preach in there, right? And so I'm reading, you know, and every now and then the Lord will kind of put something on my heart, and I know that I'm going to be sharing about that. And it was like the simplest thing when it came up, but it's like I've had to really ponder it, you know, because again, for those of you who are visiting, I don't really prep sermons. I don't try to figure out what I'm going to say, but I was asking the Lord how I was going to get into this today. But what Jesus did is when he was coming away after feeding the 4,000, he had just had some interaction with some religious leaders, and that didn't go that well because they were always trying to put him in their box, and he was always outside of their box, and they didn't like that. He was always doing things like on the Sabbath in their box that he shouldn't be doing. And he tells his disciples this. He says, beware of the leaven and the leavened bread of the Pharisees, my Bible said. I've never heard it that way before, the leavened bread of the Pharisees. And the disciples, of course, said, oh, it must be because, you know, we don't have anything to eat because they were out of bread, and they were putting it in the natural. But I want to tell you that this illustration right here, you could easily go to a pharisaical mindset. Do you realize that? You could go to a pharisaical mindset and you could say, well, he shouldn't have been there, you know, he shouldn't be smoking a cigar, and we could all of a sudden put this box over what God used to, he's a child of God, is getting healthy. Do you know how long my brother Bill has been praying for his diabetes? And you can't tell me the Lord didn't know that those men were going to be there that day. And did you hear me saying he's not telling you to go smoke cigars? But what I want you to get is that a child of God is becoming healthier. A child of God is becoming a place where he can be viable in the kingdom again. His health is not at a place where he has to struggle to just, you know, get up in the morning. He's being restored. That is to rejoice over. And we could easily let the leaven of the Pharisees get to the place where we don't even hear that. Do you understand? We lose the whole testimony because of the circumstance. And that's what they were doing with Jesus. He was going in, and on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to work, and they would watch him to see if he was going to heal on the Sabbath day. And guess what? He would. Because someone would come in who had been tormented by the enemy for 20 years, hunched over or a withered hand or something, and he wasn't going to leave them that way. And so in response to the Pharisees, he said, I'm going to heal them anyway, and he took their flack. So I want us as people of God to realize that the Lord is working all over. And he may be not doing things sometimes that doesn't look like on the outside that it meets our mold. It meets our expectations. But it doesn't mean he's not working. And the thing is the more that we pigeonhole what God does, the less we get to, I think, appreciate what God does. He's still going to do it. He's going to do his work. But we're not going to be able to appreciate all that he does, all the grace of God that's poured out so freely. Because, I mean, I gotta tell you, just like everybody, I took a second take, like, what is he talking? But then I heard his heart, and I heard what happened. And I'm rejoicing with my brother. I'm rejoicing with my brother. Because the prayers of all those years is being answered. And you may say, well, it's so simple, Pastor. It's a diet. I mean, what'd God have to do with that? Plenty. Plenty. Truth, revelation, understanding came to him, how his body works. And God used unusual circumstances. Amen. But he still used it. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. That word, beware, means to really keep your eyes open. Watch. Make sure you don't get trapped in it. You know, we are the Pharisees of our day.
Because when Jesus came on the scene, it had been about 2,000 years since the law had come. And, you know, and he was basically coming in an inundated society. They knew the law. They knew how it worked. They had all their loopholes, everything to make things work right in their eyes. And Jesus came and turned everything upside down. Because of grace and truth and love. Now, I believe that because we draw closer to God, we become more like Him. And our bad habits, our things that would steal, kill, and destroy our lives are going to be eradicated from us. We're going to be made in the image of Christ. I'm not saying we're going to be running around crazy and just doing anything and it's all good and God's just happy with however we live. That's not what I'm saying, because He wants us to be in the image of His Son. He wants us to be just like Him. That's why He made us His children. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have something, honey? Seems like you do. No, you're just sitting there. Huh? Praying. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we know, God, that you are doing the things that are not the norm, God, in our day and in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to do that. Continue to reveal, Lord, your glory, Lord, in us as your people. Thank you, Lord, that your hope is mine, your joy is mine, your love is mine, Lord, your peace is mine, Lord, because you've freely given them to us. I just speak a blessing, Lord, over your people, Lord, over your children, God. I pray, God, that their eyes, Lord, this week would be wide open, Lord, to what you're doing in their life and in the lives of others. Lord, I pray that they would be ambassadors of Christ, Lord, that they would be able to show, Lord, the goodness of God and the grace of God, the peace of God, the truth of God, Lord, to the lives that they come in contact with. Lord, I repent, Lord, for yesterday and for the last week. Lord, thank you for reminding me that I spent some time with an individual, Lord, and I never took time, Lord, to share who you were. Lord, I repent for that. And as I prayed before, I asked, Lord, you give me that opportunity again. And Lord, for all of us, Lord, for maybe missed opportunities, missed chances, Lord, missed divine appointments, divine chances, Lord, that you've set up, Lord, just as that man was beaten and bruised and laying on the side of the road half dead, and you brought a Samaritan man to him and who took the opportunity, Lord. Let us take our opportunity to show your love, God. To show who you are. Thank you, Lord. Make our Christianity real. Don't make it about, Lord, what we've just known all of our lives and has trapped us into molds and ways of thinking, Lord, that block you. Lord, let us live in full freedom, full liberty. For those who've been prayed today for, Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would just seal, Lord, that work. Lord, that they would walk and live and move and have their being this week in you. And from day to day, from glory to glory, they walk in more freedom, more truth, more grace. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to have Alvine come up now, and she's going to share about something. And then after that, you guys are ready to have a great day, I guess. Thank you.
My name's Alvine. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I'm going to ask my sister to come up here. Today I have given people flyers, or the greeters helped me pass out these flyers, and it was about a benefit concert. Okay. On Christmas morning, I'm going to give you a little story. On Christmas morning, my sister Patty came over from Seattle to spend Christmas with us. She woke up and she fainted in my hallway. She fractured her L1 vertebrae, and they had to fly her back to Seattle to Harborview for emergency surgery the next day. They put her in, this is called a turtle shell, that she has to wear for at least 3 months And at 3 months, they'll let her know whether or not she has to keep it on or take it off. But in that amount of time, she's a full-time student, and the only way that she made money was to sub for the school district. Well, she couldn't do that because she can hardly sit. The most time that she sits is when she comes to church, and by the time she goes home, she has to get in bed. But a little about her is she's a woman of God. She's always been a giver. She's a tither. God does supply for his people. And one way that her pastor's wife, God put on her heart to have a benefit concert. So if you look at the flyer I gave you there. But she called me and asked if there was somewhere that I could find for her to do that here where Patty, my sister, had to come up and stay with us because she had literally could not get out of bed by herself. The first month, we had to actually put this on her. She's actually learned how to do this by herself now. But it was quite an ordeal for her just to get out of bed. While she was in Harborview, she was actually there 9 days because not only did she rupture, but she was very, very ill. She had was throwing up daily and migraines that would make her throw up. And, you know, just a long story that she should have been there 2 or 3 days. She was there 9 days, 4 of those days in ICU. Because she was so sick, not just her surgery, but literally deathly sick. So her pastor's wife asked me to if I could find a place. Pastor Mike agreed that we could have it here at the church. So I'm asking for the support of the family. I know that you don't know her, and a lot of you don't know me very well. I've only been here 7 months. Can you believe it's been 7 months already? I was figuring that. I'm like, 7 months? You've got to be kidding me. But anyway, but this is your sister, Patty, and my truly biological sister. But so I'm asking for the support of the church to come to this banquet that we're having. And it's featuring Nick Rogers, which you all know. And we all... Oh, yeah, benefit concert. Sorry. Not a banquet. No food. And then we all know James Williams right here. His daughter will be singing. We have the International Church, Seattle International Church worship team that will be coming down to sing, and that would be her church. And her son, Nick Horn, also is a singer. So these not only are these wonderful singers, but this is a great time. And then I'm also asking the church, if you could, the ladies would bring cookies that night. So let's see, I want to see if I got everything here. One thing I do want to say about her is not only is she a woman of God, but she has 5 boys that she raised by herself. She truly is a woman that is like that woman that with the mite that would give her last mite. She did not give of her plenty. She gave of her need. And God has always, always, always taken care of her. And this is a time that we just need to help her out and give back into somebody that's always given. So, she's trying to take the mic already. anyway, so I would ask if you guys would come to that. It is on Saturday the 23rd, which is also the church work day at 9 to 1. But you have plenty of time to go home and rest and come back. And do come to the work day because it's very important to keep our church up, okay? So, also, this flyer says Alvine's sister. This is my sister, Rose, that sits way back there. That is my sister also, so this would be her sister also. So here's Patty.
And what she said about God providing, that is so true. I mean, I raised all my kids by myself, and there was never a time, even through everything, that God did not supply my needs. And, you know, I tithed off of welfare money. I tithed off of child support. I tithed off of anything that I would receive. And my pastor's wife, you know, even through this whole thing, they did a change drive and they earned $700. And you have to realize that our church is, because of transitions that we've went through, is maybe 40 strong. And half of them are college students, that age grouping. So, I mean, that just says a lot about the body of Christ. But even off of that, you know, as soon as they gave me the check, Alvin and I were sitting there, and I sat and I wrote out a tithe check. And that's why God does supply our needs. And even through this, you know, there was never a time when I'm like, you know, pulling my hair out. I'm like, God, I know. You said in your word that you would supply. And I signed up for disability through the welfare because I have no insurance. I'm a full-time student. And I got hurt on the 25th. I got out of the hospital on the 4th. I incurred over $300,000 in debt. My insurance, the welfare, you know, when they approved me on January 7th. So it covered nothing. Zero of my medical bills. And I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, okay, I just know you're in control, God. They charity cared every single bit except $2,700 between hospital bills. The only thing that they didn't charity care was my ambulance, actual ambulance ride. Everything else at Harborview, at Memorial, and my airlifting, which was $40,000 by itself, they wrote completely off. And I mean, if that's not a testimony of God's faithfulness, and I know it's because I am a giver, and not only of finances, but of time and everything else. So, you know, and this, I didn't intend on saying this, but it's so true. What you reap, what you sow. You sow into the kingdom of God, and that it's not just with finances, with time, with love, with whatever you have to give, and he will give it back to you. So I thank you in advance for your support, and it's going to be a time of fun and fellowship. You know, our body's driving all the way over from Seattle. They're encouraging our whole church, and I would say that probably at least 3/4 will be here, and we just love for you to come out and fellowship, if nothing else. Thank you so much.
One more thing. Men's breakfast this coming Saturday. Come on, men. We'll have some great testimonies, some time to share together. God bless you all. Love you. Have a great day.